Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Let's saddle it up and go to Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Bags are right there at the register. Pickle bar, second to none. We love it. Barrel pickles, dills. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We'll have Jeff Byers on today and get his take on the the Big Ten Wrestling Championships. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, will check in as well. A little bit of open line time at 1-800-795-9565. And the Kevin Herr memo of the day.
Or the mod, as it were.
How awesome are the Olympics? Then we're not going there.
Pretty awesome. No.
Hey, before you get any further into this, into the mod, there was one thing I didn't put in because it kind of crosses lines, but I had to share this. As somebody that's watching FX's The People versus O.J. Simpson, I find it extremely ironic that this show is getting some popularity and starting to get some attention, and a miniseries, I should say. And now, all of a sudden, they find a knife that dates back to the demolition of O.J.'s house in the late 90s?
Yes, I know. I saw that today.
That was remarkable.
The police officer, evidently, that found it, he was an off-duty traffic cop, or else somebody found it and gave it to him. And gave it to him. Okay. And he decided to keep it. And then he wanted to frame it. So he wanted something official from the department about that. And they said, what do you mean? What are you doing? Now, naturally, who broke the story? TMZ! It's their baby every time.
But the timing of this has to be the most coincidental thing I have ever seen. I mean, when was the last time you talked about the trial of the century with somebody, Steve? 20 years ago?
Well, we did on the show when I was in Las Vegas.
Okay.
Because
I remember
was
that.
He was put in jail. He's in jail in Nevada. He's about 150 miles north of Las Vegas.
I remember you saying that now.
And then we did talk about it then.
Yeah, that's for the armed robbery of memorabilia, including his trophy, Heisman Trophy.
And I told the story about my cousin George.
Right.
George Silva. My cousin George Silva worked for, I think Butch worked for, and that's the nickname we always had for him. I think Butch worked for the L.A. Sheriff's Department, I want to say 20 to 25 years. And he was in the transportation unit, and it was his job. Now, he had others over time, Robert Downey Jr., the Menendez brothers, people like that. But it was his job virtually every day to drive O.J. back and forth, to trial. So
I think it's important to note, though, that as I read on, because my first thought was, okay, this is weird. I've been watching this FX series for the last 4 weeks. I think it's into episode 5 this coming week. And all of a sudden, they find the one thing that no one could find was the murder weapon, or the alleged murder weapon.
Well, again, nothing can really come of this except maybe confirm. Right.
Yeah.
Because you can't try him again. Because O.J. Simpson cannot be retried under the guise of double jeopardy. Can't.
Well, as I was digging into this further, though, I found out that this January, the former officer told a friend who is currently in the who's currently a police officer about the knife. So it's not like they just found it today.
Right.
It's been in custody, and they're treating it as evidence since sometime earlier this year, presumably in January. But I just thought, wow, talk about weird irony that all of a sudden, I mean, let's face it, we were all riveted to that trial. I remember watching it an entire summer, but you know, but
I watched a lot of it, you know, replays at night, but it was the one I told you the story. My brother called me up, and my brother was like you. Kevin watched every minute he could find of that trial, every night. So then he calls me up one day, and he says, "You watching the OJ trial?" I said, "Well, I watch it here and there. Yeah, you know, when I get a chance, sure." He says, "You got to watch tonight. You got to watch the beginning and the replay." And I said, "Why?" He says, "Just watch and then call me." I said, "Okay." So I think the replay was, what, 10 o'clock at night?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I was watching CNN. A lot of it live after I got done at work.
Yeah. Yeah. So CNN. So 10 o'clock at night, they come out and they show him getting out of the car. And that's when I called him back and said, "I think I see what you wanted me to see." He says, "What's that?" I says, "Yeah, that's George." And that was the link to it. And I've talked to my cousin about it a couple of times. And he said every single day they got in the car, you know, George was paired up with somebody else. Every day he got in the car, every single day going in, and every single day going out, what did OJ tell him? "I'm innocent. I didn't do it."
100% not guilty?
Well, he didn't say that. He just, you know, and I said, "What was your reaction?" He said, "I sat in the front seat, rolled my eyes." Okay. But my cousin now lives in Idaho, and the last time I saw George was at my mom's funeral, and he was very close. He always came east, and always made sure he visited my mom because he was close to my mom growing up, and so he was always very important to her. So he always took the time to spend some time with her whenever he came back east. Well, now he's moved to Idaho, and I said, "Why don't you bother going to Idaho?" And he looks at me and he says, "Steve," he says, "too many earthquakes, too many mudslides." He says, "too much traffic." He says, "there's too many too many's." He said, "too many earthquakes, too much traffic, too many mudslides." That's that was the order he gave me.
I'll tell you, if you haven't had a chance to see this, Steve, you should actually make some time and binge watch, because this is actually a really good series.
Oh, I've watched all of it.
Have you? I didn't realize you did. It's a 10-episode miniseries.
Yeah, I watched all of it so far.
Travolta as Robert Shapiro is outstanding. I've enjoyed watching John Travolta portray Shapiro.
Well, I think trying to think who the heck's the actor portraying Johnny Cochran. I think he's been great.
Oh, he is really good. His name is, I have it right here because I looked it up.
He's been in so many things. I mean, he's very, very good.
Courtney Vance.
Courtney Vance. Courtney Vance was on Law & Order, I think, at one point. And
he has been really good.
Yeah, he's been outstanding in this so far.
And there's some big names in these. You got Nathan Lane as F. Lee Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cuba Gooding Jr. is O.J.
Yeah. He certainly has, you know, obviously David Schwimmer's Robert Kardashian.
Right. Schwimmer is Kardashian.
And let's see. They got Connie Britton to play Faye Resnick. And Bruce Greenwood's playing Gil Garcetti. I mean, they have some pretty, you know, some really good character actors and really good big names in this. And
every time
I think they got four episodes down.
I think they're yeah. I think this is episode five coming up.
I've told you where I saw the Bronco, right? The Bronco chase where I watched it from.
Well, no, I mean we all watched it during the NBA Finals. Yeah. I know that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but where? I watched it at the U.S. Open Golf Championship in the tent.
Oh, really? I was here. I was here working at that time.
If you watch the 30 for 30 of all the big things going on that day, NBA Finals, and Arnold Palmer made his last walk up to 18 at Oakmont in his final ever U.S. Open. I covered it that day. I was out there watching him walk up 18, then I went into the interview tent. So in the interview tent, Palmer gets in there, and gracious and classy like he always is. And he starts to talk, and then he breaks down. And he starts to talk, and he breaks down, and they say, well, let's take questions. And a woman with a British accent, I believe it was British, said, you know, you have always been the man, the king, the one that put it on the tour. He says, what were your emotions walking up 18? He started to answer, and he broke down and cried. And then he got up, and he said, I'm so sorry. I can't do this. I can't believe it. I can't do this. And he exited, looking to my right, out of the tent. And I was in the back. And all the media stood up and gave him a standing ovation. Well, now we're done with this. It was interesting because eventually Ernie Els won the tournament, but this is the end of the second round, and Colin Montgomery was in the lead, and I think Jack Nicklaus was one or two shots back. So Nicklaus comes in, and Nicklaus was incredible. Did all these one-on-one interviews with each one of us. Gracious, answered everything. You know, he's in the thick of it. He's enjoying it, loves talking about golf. Then they brought in Colin Montgomery, and all those great feelings about it just went right down the drain. I don't want to. Basically, he gave everybody a look. I don't want to be here, but I'm winning, so I got to be here. So then I went back to file my series of reports, the Arnold Palmer sound from earlier, the Jack Nicklaus sound, and I was going to do something a little bit later with Colin Montgomery because he was leading the tournament at the time. I think Lauren Roberts was in the mix, too. And we're looking up, and like, There's the Bronco. I'm like, what in the heck's going on here? And, you know, you see Jimmy Roberts? Remember Jimmy? Yeah, Jimmy Roberts has done a lot of things on NBC. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Roberts, Bruce Dunn was good. Bruce Dunn's a good friend of mine who works down in Daytona. And Bruce had gone, we'd gone down to this together. And Bruce was doing some work, doing some help with NBC ESPN. And I'd gone with him. Well, Bruce comes over with Jimmy Roberts, and the three of us are standing there watching this thing, and then Chris Berman comes over, right? And Berman's like, I have no words. Yeah, no kidding, none of us do. And it took so long to do that I finished up my work at like 7:45 at night, and I left. And I drove back. And it was still going on when I got home. And I drove, this from Pittsburgh I drove. It was still going on. He wasn't in the driveway yet. I was listening to it on the radio. It was bizarre. And then the day they announced the verdict, we were in the media room with Joe. And we all stopped the press conference to wait to see what the verdict was.
Wow.
Yeah. Bizarre. Dick Girardi, Penn State's playing in the Rose Bowl against Oregon. And Dick Girardi for the Daily News went out to cover it. Well, Dick has an incredible curiosity for anything, especially historical. So we've gone several places. I mean, Dick wanted to see it was just across the street, but he wanted to go see the state capitol in Lincoln. Well, the state capitol in Lincoln is a tribute to Abraham Lincoln all the way through. I mean, it's really fascinating to look at and see and so forth. So, I mean, we've gone to historical sites before. Well, Dick goes out to California to cover the 95 Rose Bowl. And he said, look, I can't. He said, I got to go see this. And Dick drives to Brentwood, and the gates were open, and he pulled right into the driveway.
Oh, see, that's something I would do.
At Rockingham.
That's something I would
do. He said it was amazing. He'd been poking around, looking around. And it was interesting that Penn State beats Oregon. Then the next day I had to fly to Minnesota. And I had to get up at something like 4, 4:30 in the morning because I had to be at the airport by 5. I was flying out of Burbank. I was going to go through Dallas and up to Minnesota because I had a basketball game the next night at Williams Arena. And the cabbie on the radio, it was the lead story the entire time. This is January 3rd, 95. Lead story the entire time. Jury selection begins today in the O.J. Simpson trial. And, of course, that entire year, 95, was dominated by this thing. It's unbelievable. So this 10-part series, oh, yeah, I've been watching it. It's been fascinating. But Dick's so funny. I pulled right in the driveway.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
And that's a story time with Steve.
Yes, indeed. Well, that was Dick's story. It's not my story.
By the way, you mentioned Bruce Greenwood. Every time I see him, though, all I can see is the president in the Book of Secrets in National Treasure.
Oh. Right.
And of course, yeah. And of course, Pike in the new Star Trek series. So.
He was also, what the heck was that movie? It was Tommy Lee Jones and it was Ashley Judd. And he played the husband who fakes his own murder. Double Jeopardy.
Oh, boy, that's going back a little bit. 1999.
All right, we'll be back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. It's awfully tough to deal with the TV stars. Kevin Hur on TV tonight. He'll be doing two games this evening. There'll be an autograph table afterwards. Should be a lot of fun.
And I'm not charging.
When did you change that policy?
Well, see, you got to get some autographs out there, and then it becomes valuable. You don't want too many out there, but just enough to make it valuable. Then you start charging, and then the value of those autographs get higher and higher. It's all part of the retirement plan.
Well, that explains why you play the lottery as often as you do.
Also part of the retirement plan.
In fact, it might be the key part of the retirement plan.
It might actually be the primary part of the plan.
I did the lottery commercial one day on, I think it was a football game, and I said, the unofficial retirement plan of Learfield Sports. Oh, what the heck. Gonna have some fun.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And we welcome everyone to the Steve Jones Show on a Friday, which is brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Did I mention beer? Oh, yeah, the best selection of beer anywhere. Soft drink snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Water. And, of course, the pickle bar is second to none. Love the barrel pickles. Love the dill pickles. All at Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Kevin today had to turn in his Sunbury Motors vehicle.
I did, but the good news is you can grab the keys this afternoon, later this evening, or over the weekend and test drive the 2015 five-door Kia Rio yourself and find out why those 14-inch tires make the ride very smooth. The four doors make it easy to get in and get out, and also if you have smaller children, you need to get them in the back and out of the back in car seats, plenty of room to do that. Plus, there's storage space in the hatch that you can put the groceries, go shopping, take some small day trips, or if it's just the two of you, maybe you want to take a weekend trip, you can do that and get 37 miles to the gallon on average on the highway and about 30 miles to the gallon back and forth to work. I'll tell you what, I think if you pump the gas right now with the gas tank it holds and the gas prices where they are now, you could probably fill it up for about $20 and go back and forth to work all week. So find out how you can save a ton of money at the pump and only $265 a month with the special financing for 66 months and have a 5-year, 60,000-mile warranty at Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Fabulous. Time now for this day in sports history. It was on this day in 1913 that the Yankees traveled to Bermuda for spring practice. They were the first team to leave the U.S. to train. 1930, now this is just for you. Emma Fonning became the first woman to, come on.
Emma Fine became the first woman to.
Emma Fonning became the Fonning. First woman to.
What was the year?
1930.
Win an LPGA event.
No, I said this was specifically for you. The first woman to bowl a 300
I was going to say, throw
game.
A 300 game? After you said, after you, I remembered you saying specifically for me, I thought it has to be a bowling thing. Well, she would have been the first female to throw a 300, a sanctioned 300.
Yes. We apologize to the audience for the fact that it took so long to get there. Next up, 1970.
I'm on a 7-second delay. Sorry. My really whole life's on a 7-second delay.
That's exactly right. Also in 1970, the Rangers set an NHL record by going 126 games without being shut out. 1981, Guy Lafleur scored his 1,000th career point. Now, I've told you the Guy Lafleur story, right? About college?
I don't think so.
Okay. John Molesky, who works, and the other things were in 1993, ESPN formed the V Foundation with Jim Valvano, and in 1993 in New York, the ESPY Awards were held for the first time. Guy Lafleur. All right. John Molesky and I, really good friends, and you've seen John, maybe you've seen John on C-SPAN, whatever, but you've seen John on national TV many times. He and I are good friends in college. And we had this guy that, you know, the two of us would work in the sports department in college. Okay, fine. So we're working in the sports department. And every day, of course, everybody had to do sportscasts. So we had this guy, name removed here at this stage. And this was a tough era. He just could not. He butchered names. He just butchered them. It's just unfortunate. It's just the way it goes. I understand that. But this was an era that had, oh, I don't know, Vitas Gerulaitis, Guillermo Vilas. So yeah, the opportunity to butcher names was certainly there. Well, one day he's on the air and he's doing hockey scores. And Montreal was a winner over Edmonton last night. Edmonton wouldn't have played back then when I was in college. Montreal beat Toronto last night 4-2 as Guy Lafleur had two goals. Okay. Well, no. So he's done. So he comes in, and John and I were sitting in the office. We were the two sports directors at the time. And we said, Fred, right, listen to us here for a second. Right, we're going to try and help you out here. It's hockey. So think French. Okay, yeah, okay, great. Okay, yeah, think French. Okay, got it. Yeah, I'll think French. Yeah, that's good. Okay. And so he goes out the next time, And he says, and last night, Montreal was the winner over Toronto 4-2 as Guy Lafleur scored a pair of goals. And the two of us are feeling pretty good. It's like, this is great. All right, Fred. Hey, way to go, Fred. Then the next score came up. Buffalo last night was a winner over Vancouver 6-1. And Buffalo had this great penalty killer named Don Luce. I mean, fabulous penalty killer. He says, as Don Luce. We're like, oh, no.
You know, that reminds me of this.
We can't win.
Gulf Coast Golf Classic was Chai Chai Rodriguez. Chai Chai finished with 9 under par score. Chichi Rodriguez. Hopefully, Mr. Rodriguez will play after par.
Yes.
It was one of my favorite KRP episodes.
Richard Sanders is Les Nessman on WKRP. And the great line from Howard Hessman is Johnny Fever. More music, Les Nessman. All right, let's bring in Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, who helped Henrik Lundqvist throw the goal off its moorings last night. I saw that, Tony.
that was about a 3 or 4 year, well, maybe that's a little long, a 1 or 2 year run where that was Marc-Andre Fleury in the playoffs. you don't see Lundqvist do that very much. So, and the Penguins players talked about how they were, you know, sort of surprised. They didn't say too much about it, but they were clearly surprised to see Lundqvist, react like that. He's not a guy who does that very often.
No, he doesn't, but they were able to get to him with those 3 goals in that big burst last night. They had the Rangers on their heels. Psychologically, how important was that for the Penguins to clear that particular hurdle at this time?
You know, I think we'll get an answer to that as we move forward. Certainly, it would seem to be it's something that they have not been able to do. I talked about that doesn't happen to Lundqvist much. The Penguins never do that to Lundqvist. They've never seen that, quite honestly, right, at least over the past 3 or 4 years. I think it probably has even more meaning when you see that, you know, it was their three big guns,
right,
and then Phil Kessel got a goal in the third period. So, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I think if you could write a script as to how you want that to go, it would look an awful lot like it went last night. Now, the script that the Penguins would be writing would have them doing what you just said, capitalizing on that, getting some momentum and playing with confidence, through the rest of the spring. That we will see. There's been times when they should have been the most confident team in the league, and they certainly didn't play like that. So, that's one of those let's see it before we believe it type things with this team right now.
And when it comes to home ice, the Penguins are now 10-2 in their last dozen games at Consol. What is it about playing at home right now? What is the comfort level for them of being in that spot, playing on that ice?
It's a great question because it hasn't really been like that in the past. Quite frankly, when they opened, the new arena is kind of when the Penguins' fortunes changed. They have not been a great team at home, certainly in the playoffs, and at times in the regular season. So, you know, I don't have any idea, to be honest with you, what the reason is. Most of the positive trends that you can attribute to this team come directly from the coaching change. It didn't happen right away. I don't know that Mike Sullivan is that much better a hockey guy than Mike Johnston was. I think there certainly was some relief on the part of the players, whether it was, you know, quite frankly, what the media, what the Canadian media made it out to be, which was that the leaders on the team did not want to play for the coach anymore. I think there probably is some level of truth to that. I don't know if that was the entire thing. That's probably a simplified way of explaining everything. Certainly the system is a lot different, a lot more open. But these are guys with offensive skills, and the system allows them to utilize their offensive skills. That, too, is an oversimplification. But I think it's a combination of all of those things. And when they're playing well and the fans are not always frustrated, the first 5 minutes of the game, I think that takes a little bit of pressure off the team as well. Because for a long time there, as soon as a mistake was made, you know, the fans would start to get restless. As soon as they didn't score on a power play, you know, the fans would start to get restless, and you could feel that energy in the arena. And I think now that there's maybe a more hopeful energy, or a more joyous type of an energy, a more fun atmosphere, the players may be feeling that as well.
Steelers haven't tendered or franchised anybody along the way. Any hints as to what they're considering in free agency coming up? Because that window is about to open.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of that is probably going to be decided by what they thought at the combine. There, you know, are definitely some positions where they're going to need some help, and you can't address all of those things in the draft. The area that I think is probably most reasonable for them to look in free agency would be along the defensive line, a veteran type of a signing. You know, they signed Chris Polk about 10 years ago in free agency, and it didn't, you know, alarm anybody or cause any, you know, make any headlines. But that kind of a signing, to me, a veteran, maybe not even a starter, but a guy that can play in the rotation, could help them out a lot. They tried to do that with Cameron Thomas a couple of years ago, and that didn't exactly work out very well. But to me, that's the kind of an area that they can shore up in free agency. I still think they're going to have to look to the draft to find an impact player in that secondary. And tight end is a possibility as well. Right. As much as they like Jesse James, asking him to replace Heath Miller is a lot, especially in, you know, what is just his second year.
I mean, Tony, just your gut feeling of this. This is not the most dynamic draft going. I think people saw that. I think there were only three receivers, I believe, that ran, for example, under 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Really? And that's why I always find fascinating about the draft. He's a 4.35 guy. He's a 4.32 guy. He's 4. And then also they get to the combine. There was like, okay, he's 4.56. Right. He's 4.58. You sit there, you try to tell people, and they don't, that's a topic for another day. Because it is not the most dynamic draft, do you think free agency, just in your opinion, takes a greater short-term significance now?
I think the Steelers can't afford to miss in free agency because of that, because, you know, I think you're probably right as far as the draft goes. The idea of getting more than one early impact guy is, you know, unless you have, you know, two first round picks, or maybe two of the first, you know, 40 picks or so, is going to be really, really difficult for anybody to do. And the Steelers don't have a lot of money to spend in free agency. They can't make a mistake on anybody, to be honest with you. You know, I guess you could make a mistake on a 1 year deal, but that's probably not going to be the kind of a guy that is going to make an impact anyway. So yeah, I think it does take on some, you know, some extra significance, especially if they do look to those, you know, one of those two areas, tight end or defensive line. You know, they're going to get one chance at bringing a veteran tight end in to help complement Jesse James. They're going to get one chance at bringing a veteran defensive end slash tackle in to help take a little bit of the pressure off of Stephon Tuitt and Cameron Hayward. So, yeah, I think that does hold some significance. But, you know, again, I don't know, because they don't have that much money to spend, I don't see them going out and getting a major impact kind of a guy. And that would include even a guy like a Willie Gay. You know, when they signed him a couple of years ago, it didn't seem to be much of an impact signing. In fact, a lot of fans rolled their eyes, but that ended up being a major impact signing for them because it shored up a position. And there's, you know, they're so close right now too, I think, Steve, that is another reason why they can't afford to miss. If they hit in free agency, and if they hit early on in the draft, they can become a Super Bowl caliber championship type team next year. So I think they're putting all their eggs in that basket. The window is not all that wide open because Ben Roethlisberger is on the downside of his career. So yeah, I think they're putting a lot of eggs into, you know, making sure they, even if it's just one or two spots, that they hit home runs in those spots.
What do you think the Steelers are going to do at backup quarterback?
You know, I think that's a great question. I think Bruce Gradkowski and Landry Jones will be back, but I think ideally those guys would duke it out for the third spot. I think they're very happy to have either one of those guys as their, you know, as, you know, the guy wearing a baseball cap on Sunday.
Right, I understand because Gradkowski's contract's up, I believe, right?
It is, yeah. So you know, but again, I think, you know, he's a hometown guy, didn't play last year.
Right.
I think it's really going to be their call if they want to bring him back. Landry Jones is still under contract. So, you know, that's going to be interesting to me to see whether they spend some money on a veteran backup. One of the names that really intrigues me, and maybe the timing is not right, this guy's not a free agent, but he is a young guy, who's not a starter and whose career has not been quote unquote ruined like a Johnny Manziel or a Mark Sanchez, and that would be EJ Manuel in Buffalo.
Right.
You know, to me, there's a chance to bring in a guy who could be a backup right now, and then possibly for at least a couple of years, you know, maybe could bridge the gap from Roethlisberger to whomever that next guy would be, and even get a chance to be that next guy. So, you know, that's a name that intrigues me. But again, that may be a luxury type signing, and where the Steelers are, they don't have a whole lot of room for that. But there's an argument against that too, Steve. If you lose Ben Roethlisberger for a month, that's no longer a luxury signing. That's a crucial position.
That's why I asked it. I asked it not as a bridge. I asked it for the here and now because Roethlisberger's ability to keep himself. I mean, look, he takes a beating. I mean, I think most quarterbacks that get hit the way. I mean, his physical stature, I think, has probably saved him like two or three seasons out of this. But when you look at what he's done, he missed. Let's see, he went complete seasons in 13 and 14, but in 10, 11, 12. And 15, no. And that's why that's the big concern. You need somebody to fill the void at that particular moment. That's why I asked the question.
Yeah, you know, and again, I do think it's extremely intriguing because, you know, a better backup last year could have been the difference between a division championship and a bye week, you know, and a wild card game. So, you know, I think, you know, you have to think that way again, you know, moving forward this year. So, you know, they have a ton of weapons on offense. I think there's a temptation to think that, well, you know, maybe a completely healthy Bruce Gradkowski could manage the team. But again, you get into more than a game or so of having to manage a team and things change. You know, that becomes a whole different story. So, you're right. That no longer is a luxury. It could be a crucial position, and you know it really is up to a roll of the dice. And quite frankly, at this point in his career, you have to think Roethlisberger. The chances better he misses some time than he plays 16 games.
Yeah, with Bell, Brown, Whedon, Bryant, Williams, the way they're emerging here. I mean, you know, somebody could fill the bill for a couple games. They can do it with a lot greater ease based on the weapons around them. Tony, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
You do the same. Thank you, Steve.
Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Speaking of backup quarterbacks, you see Matt McGloin? Raiders tender $2.553 million for 2016.
Wow.
And that shows tremendous confidence in him. Now, other teams can match the offer or can get him a better offer, but the Raiders have right of first refusal. In all likelihood, that's not going to happen. But Matt McGloin has signed a tender, $2.553 million 2016 season with the Oakland Raiders to back up Derek Carr. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Okay, quickly, Bucknell, of course, did lose in double overtime last night to Holy Cross. They will be in the NIT. In fact, the 2-4 seeds are left in the Patriot. Lehigh and Army, I mean, that's part of the semifinals. Maryland won last night. Maverick Morgan, double-double, first ever for Illinois, but they lost 81-55 to Maryland last night. Illinois is here now. They're going to spend the next couple of days here. They're not going to bother going back to Champaign. SMU clobbered UConn last night, 80-54, third straight 25-win season for UConn, 26-point loss, second largest in the last 20 seasons for UConn. And UConn's got a little issue right now in terms of where they are in the NCAA pecking order. UConn drops from the last four byes to the last four in for Joe Lenardi with that lost SMU. Butler moves from the last four in to last four byes. South Carolina has dropped to the last four byes with their loss to Georgia. And Syracuse has moved up it for Joe Lunardi. Yale is at Cornell tonight at 6. Princeton's at Harvard. Yale's 11-1 with two games remaining. Princeton's 10-1 with three games remaining. Yale has not made the NCAA tournament since 1962. Your basic 54-year drought. And by the way, if they're tied, regardless of what happened during the season, there'd be a one-game playoff for the Ivy League championship. No tiebreaker in the Ivy League. It's a one-game playoff. Next hour, Jeff Byers from Iowa City on wrestling.